Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike D'Antoni along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:40 for our triple option feature. Got a lot of things going on in the sports world today. Certainly a lot to do with the transfer portal. We'll talk to different people across the country, get their opinions on it. But we're going to start right off the bat in Phoenix, Arizona. We got with us on the line from the Rebel Walk, Evelyn Van Pelt. Evie, glad you made it in. I was wondering if you had made it or not. So welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL.
Thank you all so much for having me. I did make it. I landed. I've been here kind of getting my bearings. I think they're about to have the Miami players do some interviews, and then the Ole Miss players will arrive in a little bit. And so it's all good, and it's all getting underway.
Even before we start talking this, let me just tell the listening audience, because this broke just minutes ago, but the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh have kind of split paths. So John Harbaugh, the head football coach of the Baltimore Ravens, is out. And so there'll be another opening in the NFL. I don't think Coach Harbaugh is going to be unemployed for much period of time. I think he'll get a job pretty quickly there. But it goes to show you kind of the shelf life, I guess, all of us live in one way or another. Is going to come to that point. But John Harbaugh out in Baltimore, so the Ravens will have a new head coach in 2026. Evelyn, I've watched a lot of Sugar Bowls. And I said this immediately. I had to do a national show and then doing stuff with WWL. That performance by Trinidad Chambliss, it goes on the Mount Rushmore of Sugar Bowl performances. How impressed? Because you got to see him all year long, every game, all the plays. But what he did in that game, in the biggest spotlight you could get put in to that point, for him to come up that big was just remarkable. One big play after another. And he's the coolest cucumber in the bunch. I mean, cool as, you know, the other side of the pillar. He was fantastic.
He really was. And I tell you what, you know, you're right. We've watched him all season. You know, he came in, he didn't play the first two games of the season. He was on the bench and then played in the Arkansas game. What a performance. And there have been some incredible quarterback performances in the Sugar Bowl. So to be on up there, I'm with you. That was absolutely amazing. And what I really was struck by is when Ole Miss played Georgia on the road in Athens and they lost, they were held scoreless, I believe, in the fourth quarter, and Georgia scored like 17 points. So Ole Miss had been up by nine going into that. And Trinidad, all week leading up to that and the media opportunities we had with him, you know, he's just said, that was on me. You know, I think he missed one pass to Daquan Wright in the fourth quarter that could have been a little, you know, turning point there. But he just said, that was on me, and I'm just not going to let that happen again. And by gosh, if he didn't, you know, if he wasn't true to his word, because that, you know, that one series in the fourth quarter, you know, those three plays in a row where he's running around, you know, Johnny Manziel like that, that was incredible to see.
What is the main thing Ole Miss has got to do to play up against Miami? And the physicality of Miami has changed throughout the year. They were a quarterback-dependent team offensively around Carson Beck. And then this isn't going to work. This isn't how we built. We built to run the football and pop you in the mouth, and we're going to run the ball. And, you know, Carson's going to be a big part of it, but he doesn't have to be the main part each and every week. What does the Ole Miss defense, because I thought in the first half, Evelyn, they had opportunities to stop Georgia and didn't make the tackle.
They did.
And so give us your big, you know, plus that they have to have against the Hurricanes.
You know, it was funny. I didn't tease them, but I asked a bunch of the kids, a bunch of the players, the Sugar Bowl media week, what are you going to do to make Georgia punt the ball one time at least? Because Georgia didn't punt one time the first time they played, not one time. And they all talked about, you know, communication. And I just think that, you know, it helps them that truly that they play in the SEC. So in terms of physicality, I don't know that that's going to be, I mean, I do know what, I think Miami has two defensive linemen who are projected to go in the top, you know, 21 picks of the draft. So, you know, I mean, they are big and physical. I just think that they're going to have to, you know, look, they have an advantage because they have a Trinidad who Miami's going to have to account for him. I mean, I know they're going to be rushing him, but that the guy is really good under pressure, and obviously his feet are so good. But they're just going to have to, that offensive line, they're going to have to minimize their mistakes. The defensive line, I think they're going to have to try and get some pressure on him. I mean, I guess it sounds cliche, but I think it just starts in the trenches, and they are big. Miami is big and physical, and you're right, they'll pop you in the mouth, and you got to be ready to get back up. And that's one thing with this Ole Miss defense that we're seeing, at least in the latter part of the season, a lot of bend but don't break. And so you wish they wouldn't bend, but you know, I tell you what, if you would have asked probably anybody out there with Georgia at 30, Ole Miss up 34-31 in the fourth quarter and Georgia having first and goal, I'm not sure anybody would have thought that the Ole Miss defense would stop them and hold them to a field goal. But I just, you know, what they've all told me is they've just got to focus on their keys and they've got to communicate, and we'll see.
Evelyn, the last 45 days has been you caught in the vortex of the tornado.
Oh.
Covering Ole Miss and the Ole Miss fan base, and now the aftershocks, you know, Ole Miss fans and LSU fans, and it's back and forth, that sort of thing. But to cover that, I think that's a much more difficult situation than people might think if you're in charge like Pete Golding is, because you want to try to, as much as you can, keep that outside noise away. Listen to us. Listen to the one voice here, okay, because I'm your head coach now. But it's hard to tune out everything else that's happening. And you're talking about, for older people, that's difficult. Okay, for
yes.
People your age, my age, and I'm older than you. But think about when you 18 and 20 mm-hmm. and 23, how easily distracted you are. How has it been? How have they been affected by all of this around them and yet still continuing to win?
You know, it's so funny. You literally took the words out of my mouth. I've been saying, and I've had people tell me, oh, well, you know, they get paid all this money. They're professionals. And I'm saying, you know what? They're 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids. Yeah, they have a nice bank account, but that doesn't make their emotions and their mentality any more mature than 18 to 23-year-old kids. And I mean, it was overwhelming. I mean, you're right. The vortex, it was like a hurricane and a tsunami and every kind of force of nature you could think of. And, you know, and these kids started off the beginning of the year, you know, Corey Adams from Edna Carr High School, freshman on the team, got killed. And I mean, that's how they started their, you know, right before they started their season. And they've just, I think, they're a very mature team, and they're very tough. And that's one thing Pete has talked about is he really likes about them. They really like each other. They're really tight with each other, and they're no nonsense, and they don't let things get to them. But you're right. I mean, when you see the coach's family, you know, traveling around Baton Rouge when he's still your head coach, you know, and I mean, I can't tell you how many calls and texts and every messages I would get about it. I can't imagine, you know, what those players were going through. So I give them a lot of credit.
The biggest key to win against Miami, and we talked about the physicality, winning in the trenches, but I think the big thing here is to try to make Miami one-dimensional. Force them to say, okay, I'm not going to let you run the ball against me. If you're going to beat me with Carson Beck. Would you think that is the philosophy defensively? Because you don't want Miami to get a running game going, because then they got you in the rocking chair.
Mm-hmm.
You got no chance at that particular point. But I think the key has to be Ole Miss defensively. Stop the run of Miami.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's just, you know, and my gosh, you know, nobody, I want to say the Hurricanes are only giving up something crazy like 13.1 points per game, fourth best in FBS. Nobody scored more than 24 points against them in like a non-overtime game, that's going to be, I mean, they held, A&M offense had been averaging 36 points a game. They held them to a field goal. And then, you know, of course they held Ohio State to only 14 points. So I just, you know, part of it, I think I have the ball. They're going to have to score, you know, they're going to have to find a way to score when they have the ball. Ole Miss is, but absolutely. I think make them, if you can find a way to make them one dimensional, and you know, that is no easy task.
And then also, Evie, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Ole Miss's offense. I don't know if anyone's necessarily expecting Trinidad Chambliss to throw another performance like that against a really good Miami defense, but the importance of Kiwan Lacy, who recently re-upped with Ole Miss, yeah. He's committed to the Rebel program for 26, but he had a really strong performance against Georgia too, maybe quietly because Trinidad was so good, but just under 100 rushing yards on 22 carries, a pair of rushing touchdowns as well. He's been fantastic all year, obviously. Going up against an elite Miami rushing defense, I think that's going to be a key matchup as well.
Oh, boy, I think so, too. You know, the first time he played against Georgia, he only had 31 yards total. And I think that kind of, you know, that kind of stuck with him in Trinidad. I think might have had four. I think as a team, they only had 88 yards total rushing the first time that they played Georgia. And so, you know, I think that was a focus. They knew that they were going to have to be able, you know, to kind of establish that ground game. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think probably, you know, just that duo there. And I tell you what, Kiwan Lacy, besides being an incredible running back, is elite at his pass blocking. And we asked him about that earlier this week. And he said, you know, I played defense all my life, you know, until I got here. And I love to hit people, you know, so I thought that was kind of funny. You know, maybe that's the mentality you want. But, yeah, absolutely, you're right.
He's the hammer. He's the hammer. and you get it after a while with him. Last thing for you before we let you go, and we appreciate your time today because I know it's limited, but a lot of people, and I guess maybe some purple and gold bias with this thought, that Ole Miss is going to go away after this year. But, okay, if you can get Trinidad Chambliss, the NCAA, to give him the ruling correctly, which I think now he got the right lawyer, he's going to get that.
Man, Tom Mars.
Tom is really good at what he does, Evelyn.
Yeah, he is.
And Lacey's already said, I'm coming back. And then people forget Pete Golding is a really good recruiter. Now, calling plays and all, that's all an art form, and we'll see how that works out. But what they've done this early in the portal period has been really impressive. And I told this to Charlie. That was one LSU lineman I wanted is Carius Kern.
Right.
Because that dude can play. Now, they screwed the pooch with him at LSU. Okay, he was just a true freshman. But he's a tremendously talented young man. But his technique is all off. I don't know what they were trying to teach him. But this is sustainable. For me, because you got to go year to year. I don't think you can look 5 years down the road. You got to look 1 year. You get Chambliss back and Kiwan. And what they're doing in the portal, Evelyn, we might be talking again at this time next year about this Ole Miss team.
I tell you what, I think, you know, they've got all their defensive guys coming back. You know, there was a lot of talk. I think a lot of Ole Miss people even thought defensive lineman Prince William Onmeyelen might end up at LSU. And he announced, I believe, yesterday that he's returning. So they've got him and Will Eccles and Savion Harris and Jamarius Brown. So that's – and then he's picked up some nice defensive additions. And secondary, you know, they're working on that secondary. They gotta work on that. But I think the defense as a whole will be great. But I think the offense, if you have Chambliss and Lacy, I mean, it'd be hard to bet against those two.
I agree. And now you've gotten a taste of it, of being in the spotlight. And, okay, who knows what happens in the Fiesta Bowl or possibly beyond. But, man, that is a great motivation because Ole Miss is walking on uncharted ground now that they've never walked down sort of, well, early in my lifetime, let me put it to you that way, but
right,
not since.
Long, yeah, Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, credit to Pete. He's keeping them focused. You know, my gosh, I thought when right before the half, they had some mismanagement of the clock. They didn't get a field goal kick against Georgia, left 3 points out there. And I'm like, oh, man. And Georgia started off the second half with the ball. And I thought this could get bad. And they rallied and they don't quit and they don't give up. I think a lot of that comes from Pete Golding, and he manages to be intense, but also not stress them out. So I think credit to him, and Charlie Weiss is doing a great job, you know, calling the plays. So we'll see, you know, let's roll the dice and go.
Evelyn, I hope we're talking next week at the same time. I know what that would mean if we're talking at this point next week. Thanks so much for joining us, and be safe.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks,
Evie.
All right,
thank you. Evelyn Van Pelt does a great job for the Rebel Walk and covers the Ole Miss football team. And Charlie has a lot more interest in Louisiana about Ole Miss than ever before in my lifetime.
No, listen, the moving back and forth, and I think a lot of surprises recently in the portal as well, Mike. When Lane Kiffin decides to come to LSU, I think a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion that Chambliss and Lacey would be following him there. Not so fast, as they like to say.
Not so quick. And,
right.
And Chambliss even admitted yesterday, I did think about it.
Right.
I did think about it. So you understand the dynamics with him, and he's got a bigger fish to fry because he's got to get the NCAA to basically give him another year of eligibility. I don't see why the NCAA wouldn't, but I don't want to get into that. I sound like Bobby in a tangent with that.